Nish, an sa chléir se sé géisi le pal ógus cin cála. Agus a trín si gatí an si pe agus a seanta an ráis go tí cenim an éid chreit bé pa?
Ó cruite cruite eile na cruite.
Eile na cruite, tu dáilta an ráis coppla glúin, chuid bhór glúin te pa. So bar bhíú chéin sa Englis, cos you're more comfortable on the English.
Well,
but you can go back generations, pa.
I can, yes, go people. Back to 1730.
Right, cos.
And your Donald, yeah.
How many generations, Pa?
11.
11?
Yeah.
So your roots are here in the Ross?
They're here. Well? We're here now, just. Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
So they originally lived in Crit, Pa? Like?
In Crit, Crit, yeah.
And you had relations in Dunluí, you said, as well?
That's correct, yes. Yeah. Paddy O'Donn was from the village here, and he was a carter, and he went to Letterkenny with a horse and cart. You know, to take back groceries,
mm-hmm.
and they stopped off at Dunluí to rest the horses, and there's where he met his wife. Yeah.
Now that would have been before 1903, before the train started.
All before the train started. Yeah. Oh, the end of the 1800s.
It must have been tough, Pa, like, you know, carting on poor roads.
Oh, poor roads at that time there, yeah. His brother was the name of Jimmy O'Donnell. He was the postman here, got the first post office into here. 1886 was the first post office in Kincastle. And Paddy and Jimmy were brothers. And the two horses and carts, he had a shop there. And that's how they went to Letterkenny to collect the goods, you know.
So the business thing goes back a long way.
Oh, a long time there.
Yeah.
And Jimmy O'Donnell used to take boats into the pier at Kincastle with groceries or flour and meal and stuff as well.
Was he taking it from?
Oh, to come from Derry or
right?
Or, yeah.
Sometimes you know, from Scotland.
From Scotland, but right. As well, yeah.
Was there a small pier down here in Kincastle?
Oh, there's a good sized pier down
Fairly
there,
good pier.
And you can come in at any time of the tide, you know.
Could you?
Know? Oh, you can.
Even fairly big boats came in.
Oh, there. Big boats! I'll take. Were you down at the pier?
No.
I'll bring you down to it to show it to you now.
It's not far down from here.
It's only just 1 mile down the road there. Yeah.
So then, Pa, your own people started a business here as well in Kincastle.
My grandfather built the house over there, the pub there, in 1901. He came back from America. And they all go Sharkey. Yeah. And they actually came from the airport, the Sharkeys, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So he built the pub there and had a shop as well, you know.
So he earned fairly all right in America.
Well, he must have made money, I don't know. There's 11 bedrooms in the house there, you know.
Would it have been that size, though, when he
It was that size.
Right.
And they had to build it that size because there was a pub down the road and a pub up the road. It was during the British time. And he wouldn't have got a license, you know, a pub license. It's a hotel license he got that time.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and you had to have 11 bedrooms before you would get a pub license. That's why he built it that big.
But then it had a shop and a bar
and a shop and accommodation. Accommodation, yeah.
So it took off and it was a booming trade for those years.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
And I told you there were big herring fishings here in the 20s. We had a fishing in November, December, and again in the month of May, two different herring fishings. And the boats came from Scotland and England to fish, as well as the local men here. And there was about 500 or 600 people working at the pier, working at herring, gutting herring.
Now, you're talking about Barton Port Pier?
No, our pier here, Kincastle.
Right.
Oh, I Kincastle.
And then you're not far from Barton Port,
we're either. 4 miles from Barton Port.
Yeah.
But it was all cured herring that time, salt herring, you know. Mm-hmm. There were no freezers going that time. And the barrels all came from Derry to put the herring into.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they came into the... We have a station up the Mean Bannet. They came into the station and the horses and carts brought them down then, down to Kincastle then.
It was a different way of life entirely.
Oh, different way, yeah.
And you said a lot of people came from Scotland, Pa. Did a lot of them stay here and settled here and stay? Well,
no, they married a woman from here.
Right.
You know, and when they went back to Scotland again to live, yeah.
So your shop then, we'll go back to your shop, Pa. Your granddad started that, like, and your dad followed suit.
He took it over then, yeah. He took it over on Good Friday in 1929. He opened the shop. He was manager of the co-op over here first.
Just across the road.
Aye, first. And then he stayed in with my mother's house, and he married her then. We are 12 of a family.
Yeah. So this here now, just across the road where he worked, was a part of the cooperative?
Oh, Paddy the Copes, that was one of the branches.
Right.
Yeah.
How many in all shops were dotted around the Rosses,
Pa? Oh, there must have been.
A few in Dunlow and...
Oh, God. Oh, there must have been 20 or 30, you know, small shops, you know. They're all closed now, mostly. There's only one small shop now up in Main Banage now. A Brian O'Donnell runs it up at the where the station was.
That's right.
That's the only one that's in it now. Yeah. Kind of wild.
So, your dad then still had a hotel license, like?
Well, then we got a transfer then to an ordinary license.
Oh, to a pub license.
Yeah, an ordinary license, yeah.
So you'd have a 24-hour license, Pat?
Oh, we had that during the Fisherman's.
Yeah,
we had
Fisherman's
that.
License.
We had that way back, aye.
Did you use it, Pat?
Well, not as much, because we had to get up to do a rubber in the morning, you know. It couldn't just be...
Oh, it would be hard to stay up all night and all morning.
But sometimes when the fishermen used to come into the pier at night, you know, and they'd have to come up here, you know, for groceries, and they would stay in the house there, you know. My mother used to leave the fire on for them, and they would just sit in the kitchen there and kind of sleep around, you know. Oh, times were tough then, you know, half-deckers and yawls, you know.
They would have been Crick people, a lot of them too.
And people from Gola used to come over without having, they'd be here too.
And they'd spend nights in
They'd sit there at the fire then, just, you know, make tea for themselves, you know. I remember you'd come down in the morning and you'd see them just, you know, sitting around there, you know. Oh, times were tough.
But Pa, then you took over from your dad.
Took over from my dad then, yeah.
Well, before we come to that and go through a bit of that, Pa, you yourself were born in Limerick, you said.
There were two of us born in Limerick.
Tell me, your dad was working in Limerick?
He was working on the rural scheme down there, yeah.
Ardnacrusha,
yeah.
Right. So that was the first scheme?
That was the first in Ireland.
Right.
Yeah. And there were German engineers. And there were 700 or 800 men working there on that job.
And how come your dad went to work there? Was he just physically labouring there, or was
he looked after the shops. The shop was well there, you know, there. And they'd done the food for all, fed all the men there. And they sold stuff in the shop too, like boots and underwear for men, you know.
Everything
that men would want that time. And it was German engineers was there. And one of the local men killed one of the engineers. And he was hanged in Dublin.
He killed him?
Oh, he did, surely, yes.
What was that like? What happened?
Oh, there must have been a row or something, you know. Or he was jealous or something. But I heard my father saying that Green Street in Dublin was the place where he was tried way back. I heard my father saying he was up when he saw him being sentenced.
Yeah. What was his name?
I don't know, but Nellis or Gumkajin in him aware.
My God.
Don't know, but...
So, Pa, you then went to school here in...
In Belnacritia, up the road.
Right.
Yeah.
And who was teaching you there?
Hugh O'Donnell. From Kincastle,
What was school like, your school days?
Oh, Jesus, Tasugan. Oh, we should cruel altogether.
If we got to school, you hated it?
Hated it, don't talk about it. You're sure of getting slap every day, you know.
For doing nothing, like
doing nothing.
No reason?
Oh, no reason, no. You're okay to be okay. No. No, nothing, no.
So you then started, like...
I started to work then with my father there.
Yeah. What was it like? Everything had to be packed in the shop.
Oh, you had to pack everything, surely. Weigh everything there.
Yeah.
We sold everything, with groceries, hardware, paint, furniture, nets, ropes, and you name it, for fishermen, tar, and wood, and slates, and feeding stuff for animals, you know, meal and flour and all that. We sold everything. They used to come over from Gola and then this man to do their shopping in the summertime. They came into the pier with their lobsters, you know, and we give them the money then, and the man that was buying the lobsters from them then, he gave us a cheque at the end of the week for it, you know.
So it was barter they were using?
Yes. Yeah.
They traded with you and you?
You know Colin McGarvey from the Sherrer?
I do, yeah.
I remember him coming over with Huey and all those.
And Jimmy.
Sons, Jimmy, yeah. And all them. I knew all them.
So did you learn, did you start have to learn from your dad?
Oh, learn from
me. Weighing and measuring.
Oh, weighing and measuring. Oh, we had to do all that. Oh, my father was a great businessman.
And did he go out with carts or delivery? Or?
Well, later on, when we got to, in 1960, we bought a van. And I used to go out to do groceries out through the, I'd go down to Illinacritia and Uwe Island as well, you know. We sold gas, cookers, and everything you could mention.
So did you have to connect the gas cookers and you know?
All the doors applied to us, but we put them into the houses then. You know?
Did, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big change in lifestyle.
Oh, big change there. But we kept everything. They didn't go to John Lowe or anything to shop, you know. They got all that needed in the local shops, you know. So people came, had to walk. There was no cars or no.
Everyone walking.
Came across the Strand from Critch and from Uwe Island to do their shopping.
But they could come right up behind
up
your
here,
house?
Or just behind the house here with the cutters.
Yeah.
The salt fish with them, and they had their eggs and their country butter. We bought that from them in the shop.
Of course you did.
It was the barter system, you know, and Dulce and Carrigane.
And you remember, how many people would have been living in Owe Island at that time?
Oh, there was about 25 families, and there'd be about 7 or 8 in every family. Big families, you know.
But gradually they started to...
Oh, they started then.
Immigration?
The younger men then started to come out onto the mainland, and they got fishing in Burton Port on bigger boats and Killybegs, and then the parents had to come out of then, you know. Same as Gola and all the
islands. The same thing,
you see.
I suppose, like, you can't blame the youth.
You couldn't blame them. Yeah. I mean, the young ones used to come out to dances and going in at 3 or 4 in the morning, you know, and when they weren't, you know.
And did you then, you supplied goods to Owe Island and that, did you have your own wee boat, like, or did you?
No. They came across to meet us at Lower Critch, you know.
You never went in?
No, we didn't. Mickey Geller and Godot used to go in with the boat.
He did,
you know? No, we didn't. No, they came across. Yeah.
So, seeing that in those days, Pa, like, You didn't use a till. I'm sure you were quick off the mark, making up, like, adding up.
Oh, we had to add up. Oh, it was all adding, surely. Yeah. You might have 30 items, 40 items, especially for people on the islands, because they only shop maybe once a week, you know. And you had to tot up the whole lot out of there and make sure that everything was correct.
No problem.
Oh, there was no computers that time.
No.
No.
But you use your own computer in your head.
Oh, we had to do it. And you didn't make a mistake, you know. And you knew the price of everything in the shop. Half of it wasn't priced, but you knew the price of everything, you know. Such a change now.
Unbelievable.
They're not for to add 3 items now. Oh, not at all.
No,
oh,
don't use
the hopeless. Hopeless. No. Oh, God. Yeah, that's a gun.
And Pa, at the same time you were running the pub. Did you venture into the pub? Did you start serving or?
Oh, you did. When you closed the shop at 6 o'clock in the evening, you got tea.
Had your quick dinner.
And went in then and you're there maybe till 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, serving. with big scaffolds of people in the bar.
Yeah, every night.
Oh, well, mostly, especially during the summertime,
yeah.
A lot of visitors, because they had caravans and crits and had houses taken around, and they're big.
You could see the change coming, Pat, though, like, you know, things improved.
All proven, sure.
When holidaymakers started to come.
All holidaymakers were coming, oh, certainly, yeah. Mm. And enjoyed coming here then. We'd have sing songs in the bar there, you know. Mm-hmm.
But when you started initially, do you remember the prices of beer and all that, Pally?
Oh, well, yeah, that's a rum thing. It's so far back, you know. But we bottled all our own Guinness or stout and beer and wine. We don't know, wash the bottles and bottled it all ourselves.
That was your first chore?
That was it, yeah. When you come from school, my mother would, before you got your dinner, she would say, listen, you start to wash bottles, you know, before you got any dinner, and you didn't ask what was for the dinner either, only glad to get something. There was 12 of us in it, you know.
So the rest of the family, did they go off?
They emigrated then, yeah. There's six of them in America.
So were you?
I was the only one left.
Right. Were you the youngest in the family?
No. I was the third. I was the first boy.
Right.
Yeah.
So you remember your brothers and sisters leaving?
Oh, they were all younger than me. Oh yes.
The first going off to America, was it?
Margaret was the first that went to America. Yeah, and she brought each one of them out in Tottenham. Like, yeah. That's what happened long ago, you know.
Send the money back.
Send
the
money
fair.
Back then, one by one. The two of the boys had pubs in America there, Andy and Peter.
And did she, Margaret, now, did she have relations in America, like to go to her?
Yeah, well, we had an uncle out in America, you know. So he brought her out first, and then she brought the rest out. Yeah.
It would have been hard on your parents as well.
Oh, it was tough, surely. Yeah. There's two of the girls and nuns, you know. My mother died suddenly, and they weren't allowed to come home to the wake at that time. They got as far as Falcara. The convent was there down in...
Ballachonnell.
Ballachonnell.
Yeah.
They came there after the funeral, but they weren't allowed to come home. No, those days.
Did she die? Was she really young, Pat? Like?
Oh, she was only in her mid-50s. She died with a heart attack. Yeah, suddenly. Yeah.
So your dad was left then with a lot.
He was left with the rest of us then. Yeah. So. Yeah. So.
Pat, when did you take over the pub and the business yourself then?
But. 1960, round about that.
Your dad, was he dead or?
No. Oh, he didn't die.
No, but he was older.
He didn't die till 1974. But he was old then, if you know, that time. He suffered a stroke, so he was kind of invalided.
So you took over the running of the business?
I took over
the business,
yeah.
And were you still running the shop, Pat?
Oh, I was.
You were? It was tough though, running both. Like,
it was tough, surely.
The shop on the day and the bar, the evening onward.
And I had cattle along with that.
Did you?
I had. I had 16 head of cattle.
And did you have a lot of acres of land?
I had land about, and I had land in Critch Island as well. I had 5 cows calving at the one time. Yeah, done all that. And I helped my mother to milk 2 cows before I went to school in the morning.
That was your first call.
Aye, and you went to school in the bare feet once Easter came.
Did you, Pat?
Oh, aye. Oh, it was all the bare feet. Oh, aye.
And carried your sods to school, isn't it?
Carried our sods to school, aye. And stole them sometimes from the master's stack on the way going to school.
The nearest stack,
aye,
yeah.
Because we never got to the fire anyway. He stood at the fire, but we never got near the fire. Oh, aye. So, sinna dói.
Sinna dói, Rosha. Sinna seal of you. So, Pat, for how many years did you run the pub? Like, you're out of it now and you built this house.
Well, 20 years ago I sold it. I built the house 12 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Was this on your own land here?
Yeah, there's an old ballock here. I'll show you the photograph of it if you want to see it.
There was an old house then?
No, an old shed that was here.
Right.
But
it's very close to the old home.
Like. Ah, it is across from that there.
So you lived over there as well, pal, and the old home?
Oh, right? I lived in the old, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you sold it to Iggy Murray, like, or was
Iggy Murray, yeah, he bought the whole lot. Yeah. But after a couple of years, he closed the shop then. So he's just as the pub. The Gaelic way, yeah.
Oh, the Gaelic way, yeah.
Aye. That's Kilcara, yeah.
Oh, be?
Oh, aye.
Yeah. But, like, had you seen, like, I know you were aging and you had done enough, but, like, had you seen a change in business? Like, you know, was the pub trade losing?
Or? Oh, the pub trade was losing, it was, yeah. It was beginning to go down at that time, you know.
Yeah.
But it's in bad shape now, you know. But,
Well, you saw big changes coming, pal.
Oh,
like,
I saw that.
The fishing industry had fallen.
It fell away too, you as know? Well. Oh, yeah, it finished as well.
So really it was the heart and the soul of this area?
Oh, it was the heart and the soul. Oh, way back when there was no employment, you know. But what happened was then, in the end of the 1920s then, the herring left. And I heard my father saying that those boats that came from England and Scotland, they weren't able to pay for their stuff in the shop in the end, you know. He had a ledger there, but sure, you couldn't blame the fishermen. That
No, you couldn't.
So that finished. And the herring didn't come back till about 25 years later, in the mid-40s, they started to come back again then.
And what was it, Pat? Did you hear stories that a priest cursed that?
Oh, we heard that too.
You tell me, because I only...
No, well, I don't know much about it, but I don't think there was much to it altogether, you know.
But the fishermen were fighting over the herring?
Well, they were fighting, surely. They were
between that, here and Tryana?
Tryana, that's correct, yeah. I don't know much about it, but I heard that anyway, but could be.
But, Pat, regarding the works side of it as well, Paddy the Cope was brilliant at the way he started employment.
Oh, he did, surely.
No, he came from nowhere.
Oh, he came from nowhere there.
But he had a great business major and brain.
He went to Scotland to work too as a young man, you know.
This is a navvy, like
and
the
then,
others.
Then he got in with the, what do you call it, the Scottish Co-op, you know. And he got a lot of information from them, you know.
He learned as
oh,
he was
he learned
going
then,
along.
And that's how he began to the Co-op society, yeah.
Which area was he from in the Rosses?
He was from out Clindra, outside Dunlow there, on the way to Mahray.
Alright. So he came home and he started
to go up in Dunlow. Yeah. Oh, he was a great man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. How many branches had he altogether? He had Letcher McAward, he had Main Bannad, he had Burton Port, he had Kincastle, and he had Anna Gray. They were all branches.
And he started a bakery and...
Oh, he had a bakery and knitwear as well.
That itself was brilliant.
Oh, it was brilliant, yeah. The woman would go up with her knitting, you know, and No, he had a lot of people working.
Where did you go to dances, Pat, then, in your youth?
Oh, well, we went to Dunlow, and we went to Burton Port, and went to Anna Gray, and
Mulladuff,
and Gidore, and all around. Yeah, the dances went on to 3 o'clock that time. And it was a shilling or 2 shilling to get into the dance that time. But sometimes we couldn't go near the way I get you going. Oh, aye. And we walked and we cycled.
It was a long distance.
Oh, no cars. And then went to Dunlouis as well. We cycled to Dunlouis. They used to have a dance there on a Tuesday night in the summertime.
Dunlouis Hall.
Aye, the hall's still there. Oh, we went up there.
There was some distance to go.
Oh, well, that was the way it was that time.
And the music bands, was Leo Foy playing at that time?
Oh, Foy, but they were going, Leo Foy, they were going that time. And the butchers over in Cadjou, had the butcher and then the Boyles, they're still the butcher shop in Dunlow.
They were very musical, weren't they?
Oh, they were, surely. There were three or four boys in that house played music.
But Leo Foy were the best.
Oh, they were great. Oh, they were powerful. Leo and they were good.
Rosemary,
that's right. Lala. Well, there was a band over in Anagar too. James Neilian was one of them, and a few more boys over there.
Were they playing box playing?
Box like playing that time, Oh, aye. Oh, we had good fun then. Yeah.
You made your own crack.
Oh, you had to.
You were easily pleased.
Oh, easily pleased. Oh, you were, sure.
Suppose you went to boxing tournaments as
well. Oh, we did. We had the boxing, Ross's Boxers away, Pat Sharkey and all them.
Yeah.
The club in Godor as well, you know.
You went to a lot of the birds.
Oh, a lot of them there. Some of my brothers boxed there.
Did they?
Oh, they did.
Pat Sharkey was good. He must have been good.
He was good in his day, you know. Yeah. He was. Still alive.
Oh, he is, I know.
Oh, he's 80 years or over it, you know.
And you followed the football as well, Pat?
We played for Dunlow, you know. Wild battles with Godor, you know. But they were great times, you know. But they were great footballers. Far better than, if Godor and Dunlow had a county team now, they would beat any of the rest of them, you know.
Great men. As good as you'd find.
All great men altogether, you know, with the conditions they had, you know. But Godor are great footballers, great men altogether. You had Hughie Big and you had Jackie and Huey Tim and Michael Rua and Jim McFadden and the Coyles Lemonade and Stout and those guys.
Gallagher's
all. Anton Carroll, you know, Anton Rogers.
Yeah.
Carroll, he's related to us, you know.
Is he?
The Carrolls. Oh, aye. We're the same dram. The Sharkies.
Right.
Pa Sharkies connection and all. We're all the one Sharkies.
Same people, aren't
they? Same Sharkies. Oh, aye.
But you used to have battles royal with
oh,
the
had, oh, they had. Oh, they had.
Was some rivalry.
Oh,
like.
It was tough. Oh, it was. But
they'd be hard to separate. Dunlow must have been a brilliant team as well, though.
They hadn't the same footballers. No, as Godor. No. We had a few good ones. We had Eddie O'Donnell and Shannon O'Donnell and some of those lads.
McGarvey's.
And Cookie and the McGarvey's and then, you know, a few of them. But Godor had a great team. To the bigger population, kind of.
I suppose,
and they seemed to have been able to stay all summer. Our boys had emigrated, you know.
Well, I know.
They had no work.
It affected all areas.
Well, that was the trouble then. During the summer, that kind of poor teams.
They were all gone.
Yeah. But Godor lads seemed to be able to stay at home, you know.
Well, I remember hearing stories that they would come home for a couple of weeks to play in semi-finals.
Other than that, but So.
But immigration has done a lot. You know, it really affected the parish itself.
There was nothing else, you know. Take our own house, there was half of them had emigrate, you know. Yeah. No work.
Even though you were doing fine business wise.
I know, we couldn't all stay at home. My grandfather had a dance hall as well.
Did he?
Over the shop.
In that same?
Over the shop, I'll show it to you there.
Right.
And they used to come from Gola and Inishman over to the pier at night to dance. Way back, nearly 100 years ago.
That was their travelling.
That's how they
used their boats.
They'll come with their yawls, their yawls and sails. They had no engines on the boats or anything, and they would row as well, you know. But they used to come over to dancers.
Yeah. So you know a lot of Gola people, like you kept.
I knew them all the way back there, you know, during the 40s and 50s mm-hmm. and 60s, because they came over here with their lobsters all during the summer, and we paid them for them, and then the man that bought them then would give us a check at the end of the week then for, and they bought all their stuff then in the shop from us, which was great. And they went into the bar and had a few drinks. My mother used to make tea for them then, Colin McGarvey and them, because they were away from all day, you know, long day. Oh, I remember all those men.
But, like, she appreciated their, you know...
Oh, surely. It helped their business, too.
Of course.
Oh, it did, yeah. Surely. Mm.
But imagine your dad had a dance hall and...
That's right, in those days.
You'd hear plenty of stories about that.
Oh, stories, don't talk about that. No, it was great. But they're good fun those times, you know.
Life was innocent, like, simple. Like.
People were, they weren't as old fashioned as they are now, you know. They weren't as hard to please.
No. But then I suppose when things started to improve in the 70s onward, like, and you'd have a lot of Scottish people listen to Scottish accents. Parents were from
here, but they came back on holidays then. Mm. Like we do, just, you know.
Same thing. Oh, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Oh, aye. Mm.
Yeah. Do you see an improvement in life, though, Paris?
It's a lot. Oh, it's a lot better, surely, goodness. Oh, your big houses now, and, you know, and there's a whole different scene altogether. Sure, when we were growing up, the houses were all thatch, mostly, you know.
They would have been, yeah.
Oh, there's thatch houses, certainly. Mm. Yeah.
Your home wasn't thatch, but it would have been originally, maybe.
No, it wasn't, but going back, we had the thatched house for the co-op was there. I'll show you the photograph of it. Going back
Just across.
Across there, a long thatched house, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Then the Coke bought it and tossed it and built a new store there.
Right.
Yeah, but 1900.
So they bought the land from you?
They bought the land,
from your
grandfather. Yeah.
I suppose the prime location at a wee crossroads?
Just in the village here, you know. You had the post office and you had a pub and a shop, you know. That's what you wanted.
You remember when people started smoking as well, pal? They're woodbines, I suppose.
Oh, we did it, surely. Woodbines and players and all the rest of it there.
Mm. Everyone was smoking, like, you know.
Well, a lot of people. Yeah. We all started to smoke when you were young, you know, but you stopped then, you know. You thought you weren't a man unless you were fit to smoke, you know. But my parents never saw me smoking, you know.
No, you keep out of their way.
Kept out of their way there. And I didn't drink either, you know.
Did you not?
No, I sold drink, but I never drank. No.
But you'd have the know-how of keeping a conversation going.
I kept I filled people in on the area, you know, and give them all the knowledge of the area. It was very important in the bar, you know.
Of course it
when
was.
When people came on holidays, because that's what you wanted to know when you came to an area, you know.
Exactly.
This is what's happening now in these pubs and all, you know, that they haven't time to talk to people, you know.
No, the serving and the leave.
Just serve you and walk away from you. Oh, yeah.
It was a different way, like in your time.
Oh, different, yeah.
People who were single went out just to go on and meet people.
And have a chat and you know. My father was a great fisherman too. He'd done the lakes and the rivers, you know.
Did he?
Oh, aye. Well, he was brought up in Doherty. You know, so he fished on the river.
He was from Doherty.
He was from Doherty there. His grandfather came into Doherty with the landlord, you know, to look after the river. He came from South County Derry. He was the name of Isaac Logue, and he married a local woman there, the name of Nellie Macaulay from Kingarrow up in Fintown.
I know Kingarrow.
Aye, well, that's where she was from. The wee school is still there, you know, there, you know.
Yeah,
Kingarrow is closed now.
Yeah, I do
but
know
she
that.
Was,
you know.
She was the name of Nellie Macaulay. And he looked after the river for the landlord in Doherty.
Was that Conaghan or the landlord?
Yeah, that's
Conaghan or Con...
near the Skunk
Cunningham Street.
Probably it was, yeah. Mm.
So that's how he came in?
That's how he came, yeah.
This is a bailiff, like?
A bailiff, yeah, that's correct, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So then your father, he was into, he followed on?
He followed on.
Yeah.
But he came to work in Dunloe, in a shop there, Johnny Edward Boyle's, when he was 10 years.
Your dad did?
He did, yeah. When he was 10 years.
And he learned that trade?
Like he learned the trade there. And he was confirmed in Dunloe. And he learned the catechism after the shop closed at night. Times were tough then. And there was 12 of a family and they were placing it, no money either. No.
And Edward Boyle's, well, that place is still there.
Johnny Edwards is still there, yeah. Now, but the shop's closed now, you know. They have a betting shop there now.
They do, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Right. His grandson is James Boyle, he does the notes for Dunloe. He was a teacher. No, the Dunloe notes for the weekend papers.
That itself is a bit of history, pal, like, you know, the way people came.
Oh, came, surely, yeah.
Came into this area.
Aye, but my father grew up tough, that's a tough time too there, you know. Imagine at 10 years, he wasn't at school.
No.
Mm. But boy, you want to see him doing his thoughts and his writing, you know. Great writer and everything, powerful. Mm.
I bet you, yeah.
Oh, great, yeah. Oh, he's a great businessman. Mm. He was.
That's where Mary from Dunloe, the story went.
The story,
She was working there in Dunloe as well. I don't know which place, though.
Aye.
Was that in Boyle's as well she worked?
I don't know actually where in Dunloe there. Her parents are buried over at our chapel, you know.
In Belcritch.
Over at Belcritch. Mm-hmm. I can show you the grave. Mm.
Right.
Daniel was on her grave out in Australia.
He was, yeah.
Aye.
Yeah.
And he took back a stone from it. He put it on the parents' grave there, you know.
That itself is a story, like, you know, the festival and the way it started.
Oh, it did, surely, to goodness. Yeah. Oh, aye. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. They were from Letchercahar up there.
They were, yeah. Mm. Oh, I know the house. I was actually in the house.
Were you in the house?
Yeah. It's owned by a lawyer now, but...
Is that right? Yeah.
I just explained to him and I wanted to go on and he was quite helpful and understood.
Stood.
But it was a sad story the way they...
Aye, it was sad, surely, what happened, you know. Yeah. Mm. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about your great-grandmother.
Lydia Rua was her name there. Yeah. She lived to be 90 years. And I remember my mother taking us over, walking on a nice Sunday across the Keijo Strand over to visit her, and she was sitting in the corner there and her smoking her pipe. black tobacco.
Oh,
you know,
God.
A wee old woman. And she had seven sons and two daughters. Yeah. And she lived to be 90 years.
Yeah. Imagine the way they used to smoke pipes.
Smoke, she sat in the corner there smoking a pipe. Mm.
She'd have stories, galore.
Oh, she had a lot of stories there, yeah. Mm. Did you know Fanny Green over in Crawley? You didn't know her?
I think I met that woman.
She's down now down Gwydor, down in Derrybeg, in the home.
The home, right.
Yeah, she'll be 100 years now, I think pretty soon. But she told me that her and her father used to go over a Sunday every year over to Keijo and to visit her, you know. And she would always give her a half a crown, you know. And those days, half a crown was a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Mm. But they went from Bradge over there, over to visit her. Mm. Yeah, and she smoked the pipe. Oh, aye.
Mm. You would have seen quite a few, I bet you, in your time, you know.
Oh, I know, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. But women didn't go into your pub.
Oh, not then, not
that
then.
Wasn't on,
like. Oh, no, if a woman was seen going on the way back, it'd be desperate altogether.
She'd be running to the ground.
Oh, God, aye, but there's a big change now.
Mm. Oh, yeah, but sure, rightly so.
Rightly so, yeah. Well, they hadn't the riggage either,
no,
you know.
No, it was scarce, yeah.
Oh, it was scary.
And see this building that I'm looking at across here, kind of just on the opposite side of your old home.
Yeah.
Was that some kind of shop as well? Like,
This big house here.
On your left there.
My left?
Yeah, there's something written on it. I can't read the Curra Cove or something.
Oh, Curra Cove here. Yeah. Oh yeah, this was a shop here, yeah. It was Daniel the old boy, was the man that had it as well. Mm-hmm. Do you know Frank Padd, the lawyer, or the judge in Dublin? He was on yesterday evening on the television. He sentenced a man, what do you call him? One of the big Fianna Fáil guys.
Oh,
Dublin.
Yeah, just that was on the news yesterday. Yeah.
Yesterday, aye. Mm. That was his grandfather that lived in there. Aye.
His grandfather's home?
Aye, Dan Boyle. And Dan Boyle's father came from Doer. His name was Ned Boyle from Doer. Mm. But he had a big grocery shop there too. And he used to get a boat coming into the pier with coal. He had a coal boat coming in there to the pier. And
where would the coal boat come from?
I come from England. Yeah. I remember it as a wee boy coming there. And the men would be all down there taking the coal off it, yeah. Horses and carts. And then he had a lorry and he would sell it all over. I think it was about 1 and 6 pence for a 100-weight bag that time. Mm. Yeah. That was back in the 30s and 40s, you know, before the last World War.
My God.
And we sent herring from our pier to Germany before the last World War. Direct from our pier, salt herring.
Did you?
Yeah. Mm. Mm.
Going off to Germany.
Oh, straight to Germany from our pier. Mm. I think that's what fed the Germans before the start of the war. The salt herring from Donegal.
Mm. Maybe it did. Aye. Maybe it affected Hitler.
But it was a great going place down there. Mm.
But it's an awful shame to see it all just
Because you're like a hue.
It's a hue. And then, you know, we went to Camp Lynn for the last hour nearly.
Right.
Talking about the pub business. Like, but that really is history now. I mean, there's not a hope there.
Oh, not at all. Should I go down to the Kayleys and go door now? And there'll be maybe two or three cars at the Hughie Bugs or Sea View.
You'd be lucky to have that.
Lucky to have that now. Maybe at the weekends.
Or
if there's a football match on television. Yeah. But other than that, there's
nobody going in.
I can see a big change from Chad Jack's too. Mm. We went down there, the old Chad Jack's.
Yeah.
That time that there was turf cutting and Guidor then, and the men were all you'd hardly get into the pub there at night, but
quite strange though.
Oh, terrible altogether. Mm. Oh, aye, Shinna Doi. Mm. The Mickey Gorras, you know, the pub there's there too.
Shinnog's
now. Oh, big change. Yeah.
Anyway, pal, you were going to make tea. So
we'll have a cup of tea then. I'll take you down to the pier, do you mind?
Oh, no problem.
And show you.
Hold on.